Thank you for taking the time to watch this message. My name is Ronnie Rothy. I'm the lead pastor at Relevant Community Church. At Relevant, our goal is to make faith practical in order to help you be more transformed into everything God's created you to be. It's our hope that something from this message inspires and empowers you to take a next step to follow Jesus. Thanks again for joining us, and I hope you enjoy this message. Hey, Merry Christmas, everybody! It's great to see you today. For those of you who I've never met before, my name is Ronnie Rothy. I'm the lead pastor here at Relevant Community Church. I'm so glad that you chose to join us. Before we get going, let's take just a quick Christmas poll. Who started Christmas shopping before Thanksgiving? Let me see your hands. Wow, a lot of you. That's pretty impressive. Who started in the last 48 hours? Who started Christmas shopping in the last 48 hours? Whoa, that is actually quite a few. Let me ask you, who hasn't started yet? Is there anyone who hasn't started? You should not be here. You're going to upset a lot of people. You should probably get it on out of here. You can see who the planners are. You can see who the non-planners are. And, man, some of us are natural planners. Some of us are not. But regardless if you're a planner or not, here's what I know about you because it's true about all of us. You have plans. You have plans for what you want your Christmas with your family to be like, for the type of car you want to own, for the college you want to go to, for who you want to marry, for how many number of kids you have, for the house you want to buy someday, for what you want to do to your house, for the career path you want to take, for when you want to retire and what you want to do when you do retire. You have plans to live happily ever after. You have plans, plans you're arranging your entire life around, plans you're fixating on, plans you're placing your hope in, plans that are directing your behavior, plans you're investing yourself into, plans that you desperately want to see to come to fruition, plans you believe are going to give you joy and purpose and fulfillment and contentment and significance and peace. You have plans. But then, I mean, you plan to provide a great Christmas for your kids, but then you lost your job. You plan to go to that college, but then you didn't get accepted. You plan to retire, but then the medical bills piled up. You plan to live happily ever after with him, but then he told you he doesn't love you anymore. You plan to see your grandkids being born, but then you got diagnosed with cancer. You plan to have kids, but then the doctor said you can't get pregnant after years of trying. You plan to be on that team, but then you got injured. You plan to start that new venture, but then COVID happened. You plan to save money, but then you totaled your car. You plan to have a future with them, but then they died way too young. You and I have plans. And but thens are nothing but huge interruptions. And the reality is when our plans get interrupted, our lives, our dreams, our desires, our will, our hope, our joy, our peace gets interrupted. Listen, all of us have experienced or are in the midst of experiencing a but then. All of us have experienced or are in the midst of experiencing our plans being interrupted. I mean, Christy and I, my wife and I, we planned to have more kids, but then we had 4 miscarriages and 1 stillborn daughter. No one's exempt from this. We all have, are, or will experience what at best can be described as an interruption. And if we're being honest, some of your interruptions have rattled your faith, have eroded your trust in God, have drowned your hope, have made you question God and his goodness and his faithfulness and his love for you, and maybe even his existence, have made you give up. We've all seen interruptions send people on a negative trajectory that they've never recovered from. They've walked away from God. They've given up on their dreams, on their marriage, on themselves, on their career, on their life, on their faith. They've lost peace, hope, joy, purpose, worth, and they're filled with nothing but despair and anxiety, depression, and hopelessness, all because of an interruption. Is that you? If so, today, I want to talk specifically to you. I know the pain and the heartache that you're feeling is real, and it's heavy, and it's overwhelming. And my heart breaks for you. I know you feel lost. I know it seems hopeless. But you need to know that there's hope. You need to know that this doesn't have to be where your story ends. You need to know that your Heavenly Father loves you and is with you in the midst of your interruption, wanting to do something very specific in you and through you and for you. And I believe that because what happened on the first Christmas was nothing short of one big crazy interruption. Today we're going to look at a small section of the Christmas story recorded in the New Testament book of Matthew chapter 1 that focuses specifically on Jesus' earthly parents. We know them as Mary and Joseph. And as we focus in on them, we're going to imagine some of the details of the story that we don't have access to. For example, how Mary and Joseph met. We don't know how exactly it happened, but it possibly happened something like this. Little Joey is in ninth grade, shows up to Nazareth High School, and just feeling timid, you know, not really know sure what's going on. And he's walking down the hall, just scared of everything, and he bumps into this girl, knocks her backpack off her shoulder. He reaches down, she reaches down to pick it up. Their eyes meet and take my breath away. She says, "Hi, I'm Mary." He's like, "I'm Joseph." Finally gets up enough courage to ask her out. They go on their first date, goes great. They start dating. And before long, they're madly in love. And every love song now makes perfect sense to both of them. And before long, they want to get married. So Joseph gets a job as a carpenter. What else are you going to do in Nazareth? You know what I'm saying? He gets a good job as a carpenter. And he starts saving money for a ring. And he finally was able to buy the ring. And then the day finally arrives. He's going to ask her to marry him. And so he gets all of his buddies to get stationed with their phones so they can get the Instagram pics and post on Instagram. And he gets down on the knee and he proposes to her. And she says yes. And the crowd goes wild. And then they start planning. They start planning is what every young couple in love starts doing. They start planning for their wedding and planning for their future and planning for the house they want to have and planning for the number of kids they want to have. And he plans on opening a furniture store someday, building his own furniture because he's a pretty good carpenter. And they plan to live happily ever after. They had plans for how they wanted their life to go and believed it should go. But then, story picks up in verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior, the Anointed One, the Son of God came about. His mother Mary was pledged or engaged to be married to Joseph. Now, in first century Judaism, an engagement was much different than it is today. It was really a legal binding agreement that could only be broken off through a legal divorce. So Mary and Joseph, they're engaged. They're making plans for their wedding. They're making plans for their future. But then, before they came together, and you know what that means, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. They had plans, but then their plans were interrupted. And Mary finds out about this interruption first. And that story is recorded in the New Testament book of Luke, chapter 1. And Mary's just by herself, you know, one day. She's kind of seeking God, praying. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, to her surprise, this angel shows up to her and starts talking to her and says, "Mary, you are going to become pregnant soon. And the baby that you give birth to is going to be the Messiah, the Savior, the Anointed One that you and every other Jew have been waiting hundreds and hundreds of years for." And I mean, this is just unbelievable to Mary. It's you know, she can't grasp this because not only is she not married, she's never done that, and you know, the Messiah she'd been waiting for, she looks back at the angel and she goes, "Hey, angel, I don't think you'd like know how this all works. Like, we haven't, you know." And the Messiah, really? And the angel looks at her and says, the baby that you're going to conceive is going to be from God's Spirit. And Mary's thinking what you are and what I am. Like, this is crazy. Like, this is impossible. So imagine her surprise when a few days she realized she was actually pregnant. Imagine how freaked out she was. Imagine how she felt knowing that she would have to explain this to Joseph. So they go on date night. She quiet. He's wondering what he did wrong. You know, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong, Mary? What's wrong, Mary? What's wrong, Mary? And finally, she's like, "I got to tell you something. And you're just not going to believe this, but I need you to believe me. I'm pregnant. Surprised. I didn't cheat on you, though. It's from God." Fulfilling. Now, how do you think Joseph's reacting to all this? Do you think he's like, "Oh, yeah, I've seen this before. This is normal." You know, or do you think he's like losing his mind? He loses his mind. I mean, I'm going to go, I guarantee you cheated on me. Tell me who he is. I'm going to kill him. Freaks out. So we can understand why Joseph did what he decided to do next. Verse 19. But Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, the Jewish religious law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in his mind to divorce her quietly. I mean, Joseph had plans for their future together. But then his plans were interrupted because his fiance was pregnant and not by him. And he was devastated. He's mad. He's embarrassed. He's heartbroken. He's ready to quit, to walk away, to give up, to divorce her. And think about this from Mary's perspective. She's thinking, this is not what I had planned. She was filled with, you know, despair and hopelessness, thinking, my life is over. And this is where some of you are today. The plan was not to suffer from migraines. The plan was not to get diagnosed with cancer. The plan was not to be a single parent. Was not to have a rebellious kid. Was not to be left jobless. Was not to get injured. The plan was not for your parents to get divorced. The plan was not to have them die so young. Your life has been interrupted. And you've cried out, why, God? Why is this happening to me? And the only response is silence. And you're losing hope. And you're filled with despair. And you're ready to give up. Well, fortunately, God was in the midst of Mary and Joseph's interruption, so this was not how their story ended. And fortunately, God is in the midst of your interruptions too, so this is not how your story has to end either. Now, many of you have read this passage before, but most of us have not noticed the next phrase. But this next phrase is huge. This next phrase is what God wants some of you to hear today. But after he, Joseph, had considered this. Joseph's plans were interrupted. His life was interrupted. But instead of making a rash decision of burying his head in the sand or giving up, he stopped and considered. He stopped and considered, what if? What if she's telling the truth? What if God is in this? What if God is doing something in the midst of this? I mean, Joseph was a devout Jew. He had faith in an all-powerful God who could move mountains, who could part the Red Sea, who could send fire from heaven, who could bring the dead back to life, who could do the miraculous and the impossible. So before Joseph gave up, he considered, what if? What if God? And come on, let's be honest. That's not what most of us do when our lives get interrupted. And maybe the reason you're here today is simply to stop and consider, what if? What if God is in this? What if he's up to something in the midst of your interruption? What if God? And here's what happened after Joseph stopped and considered. Verse 20. But after, and only after, he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, is from God himself. Only after Joseph had considered, what if God? Did God reveal himself to Joseph in a dream through an angel and said, hey, Joseph, like, I know it sounds crazy, but Mary's not lying to you. What she told you is true. Take her home as your wife. And I know this is a big interruption to your plans, but God is in the midst of all this, and he's inviting you into something so much greater through it. Through this interruption, he wants to do something in you and through you and for you and for the rest of the world that you can't even begin to imagine. And then the angel revealed what God was doing, what God was inviting Joseph and Mary into. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, through the Israelite prophet Isaiah, who prophesied what would happen 700 years before this. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Mary and Joseph had plans, but then their plans were interrupted. And through this interruption, God was inviting them into something so much bigger. something that would transform their lives, something that would transform the world, something that has the power to transform our lives and our eternities because of what happened 33 years later when Jesus died on a Roman cross and then rose from the grave 3 days later. Their interruption invited the Savior of the world, the Messiah, the Son of God, Emmanuel, Jesus, to be born into the world. The Christmas story reminds us of something extraordinarily powerful, and that is that God uses interruptions as invitations. All of us have, are, or will experience an interruption. And I believe God is in the midst of every single one of them. I believe God wants to invite you and me into something through them. Listen, what does God want? God wants to save you from the penalty of your violation of sin against Holy Creator God that broke your relationship with Him. God wants to forgive you for your sin. God wants to restore and redeem and reconcile your broken relationship with Him in this life and the next. God wants you to know Him. God wants you to experience His presence and His power in your life. God wants to transform you into everything He's created you to be. God wants you to experience a life, a hope, a peace, a joy, a fulfillment that can only come from Him, and that Jesus died on a cross and rose from the grave to give and prove that only He could give. God wants to give you eternal life. God wants to grow your faith and your trust and your confidence in Him. God wants to show you His glory and to be glorified through you. God wants to and is working to invite you and me into all of that. And one of the most powerful ways that He does it is through interruptions. God uses interruptions as invitations. I want to say something that some of you may have never heard, but you need to hear. You need to know this. God will allow and sometimes cause, as we saw with Mary and Joseph, God will allow and sometimes cause interruptions in our lives. And I realize that's hard to hear because some of you are going through some hard, painful ones right now. And my heart breaks for you. And so does your Heavenly Father's. And could He save you from it? Yes. Will He? I don't know. All I know is that He allows interruptions, and He allows them because He loves you and me too much not to allow them. He knows many times we won't recognize and we won't accept His invitations until we experience an interruption. And maybe more than anything else in our lives, interruptions force us to throw our hands up and look up again, or maybe for the very first time. God's not trying to do something to us by allowing interruptions. He's trying to invite you into what He wants to do in you and through you and for you. But going through an interruption in and of itself doesn't mean you'll experience what God wants to invite us into through it. Just going through an interruption doesn't mean you'll experience what God wants to invite us into through it. Just like Mary and Joseph, we have a choice to make in the midst of our interruptions. And that choice is to either pivot toward or away from God. Interruptions are what I call pivotal circumstances. Interruptions, both positively and negatively, they act as pivots. When we experience them, we will choose to either pivot toward God or pivot away from God. It's impossible to grasp the tension that Mary and Joseph were feeling. And it's impossible to understand the faith it took for Joseph to do what Joseph did next. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Mary and Joseph's lives were interrupted. And in that moment, they had the choice to either pivot toward or pivot away from God. And fortunately for you, and fortunately for me, they chose to pivot toward Him and say, God, we're going to surrender our plans to You. God, Your will be done. And if they hadn't chosen to pivot toward God in that moment, they would have never experienced what God was inviting them into. They'd have never experienced what God wanted to do in them and through them and for them or for you and for me. But because they did, because they pivoted toward God in the midst of this interruption, the Savior of the world was born into this world. Because they did, they experienced so much greater than their plans, something so much greater than what they ever thought possible. Because they did, they experienced Emmanuel, God with them. God uses interruptions as invitations. As a matter of fact, some of God's greatest invitations often come through life's biggest interruptions. And all you have to do is listen to people's stories to see this. When people tell their stories about their faith in God growing and their experience of God growing, over and over and over, you hear them talk about a disruptive, unexpected interruption that happened. And as they look back on it, it's a defining moment in their lives. And sometimes these pivotal circumstances are positives. But many times, and I would venture to say most times, these interruptions involve pain, suffering, disappointment, and hardship, and only can be described as a minus. But then my mom died. But then I had a miscarriage. But then my husband left me. But then I got laid off. But then my best friend betrayed me. But then I was diagnosed with cancer. And I found myself at the end of myself. And it caused me to look up for the very first time, maybe in a really long time. And as a result, I felt like God was with me like never before. As a result, I saw God working in my life. As a result, I experienced God's love and God's faithfulness in a new way. Over and over and over, when people with extraordinary, unshakable, rock-solid faith tell their stories about how it happened, they talk about when they went through a painful, hard, negative, unexpected, disruptive interruption that God leveraged to start, restart, strengthen, or grow their faith in Him or their experience of Him. You'll hear something like, I wouldn't have ever signed up for that. I wouldn't want to go through that again. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But through it, God entered into my life in a new, in a real, in a personal way. And I now know and I now trust that God is with me like I didn't before I went through that pivotal circumstance. And it probably wouldn't have happened in any other way. Here's some really bad news. The bad news is you and I don't get to choose if we experience pain and suffering and hardship and hurt. You don't get to choose it. We will experience negative, unwanted, gut-wrenching interruptions no matter what we believe and no matter how much faith in God we have. No one is exempt. But here's the really good news. God uses interruptions as invitations. And that's not an excuse for why bad things happen or my way of trying to defend God. That's just the way that God works, and He works that way because He loves you. And as painful and as hard and as negative as our interruptions may be, God is always up to something in the midst of them. Our interruptions are one of the primary avenues through which God invites you and me to Himself and into everything He wants to do in us and through us and for us. But it all depends on which way you pivot. For some of you, how God is inviting you to pivot toward Him today is by, like Joseph, stopping to consider, what if? Considering, what if God is in this? What if He's up to something in the midst of this interruption? What if God? For those of you who would not call yourselves a follower of Christ, you never put your faith in Jesus, you're a little surprised you're actually here today, and you're kind of cynical of all this, skeptical of all this. I'm so glad you're here. But I believe how God is inviting you to pivot toward Him today is by putting your faith in Jesus. If you asked God what the reason for the season is, do you know what He would say? He'd say, it's you. The reason God interrupted Mary and Joseph's life and the world on that first Christmas was for you. to invite you and me into a saving relationship with him through his son, Jesus. Listen, I believe you're here because you want to experience Emmanuel. You want to experience God with you. And that's what God wants for you as well. But to experience all that God wants for us, to experience what God wants to invite us into, requires we first enter into a saving relationship with him by putting our faith in Jesus. By putting our faith in Jesus, asking Jesus to be the forgiver of our sins, our Savior, and asking him to be the leader of our life, declaring that we want to follow him as our Lord. Listen, if you've never done that before, and today you're like, I can't even believe I feel this way, I think this way, but like you feel this prompting and this stirring in the sense like, geez, I just feel like I ought to do that. I believe that's God inviting you today. And you can choose to pivot toward him today by putting your faith in Jesus. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that when I pray in just a few minutes. And I know there's some of you that's like, man, I'm interested in that. And I'm kind of seeking that out, but I'm just not ready because I just got some spiritual questions. I'm just trying to still wrestling through. Man, we've got a great environment for you. We call it Starting Point. Starting Point is a six-week conversational class where you can express your doubts, where you can explore faith, where you can ask questions in a judgment-free zone. We really believe that if you're just like, I'm seeking out, I want to have these doubts, I want to wrestle through this, this is a great environment for you. I'd encourage you to sign up for that. It starts at the beginning of February, but you can sign up right now. For those of you who are followers of Christ, those of us who said, I've put my faith in Jesus, I've asked Jesus to be the forgiver of my sins, the leader of my life, I believe how God is inviting some of us to pivot toward him today is through, like Mary and Joseph, surrender. I don't know all the reasons for your interruptions, but I do know God has not left you. I know he uses our interruptions as to invite you and to me and me into everything he wants to do in us and through us and for us. I know how we pivot toward him in the midst of our interruptions is through surrender, proclaiming, God, your will be done. I surrender my plans and my will to you and to your plans and to your will. Do in me and through me whatever you want to, and whatever you would have me do for your will to be done in and through and for me, God, I want you to know my answer is yes. My answer is yes. And this is not always easy. But what I've learned from personal experience is I can fight with God for my plans or I can surrender to his. And in the end, his plans are always better than my plans. What I've learned from personal experience is that there's an undeniable relationship between surrendering to God and experiencing God with us, experiencing Emmanuel. What I've learned from personal experience is that God uses interruptions as invitations, and the only way we'll ever come to believe that is by surrendering when our lives are interrupted. So have your plans been interrupted? If they haven't, they will be, because interruptions are a part of life. You can't escape them, but there's hope. This doesn't have to be where your story ends. Your Heavenly Father loves you and is with you in the midst of them. And Christmas reminds us that God uses interruptions to invite you and me into everything he wants to do in us and through us and for us. But experiencing it depends on which way we pivot. So let me ask you a question. It'd be the most important question you're probably asked this Christmas season. The question is, how is God inviting you to pivot toward him today? He's inviting you to do it in some way. How is God inviting you this Christmas, right now, today, in this season, to pivot toward him? However he is, I hope you do, because through it is how you and I experience Emmanuel.
It was very on and off with God, and you know, never read the Bible, never did any of that stuff, and I was really like, I can do this by myself, I've got it. And it was pretty much just work, going to work out, coming home, nothing. It was solo, and it was very, very lonely. I felt like I was kind of in the dark. Started the next semester of college my junior year, and the week before we even started classes, I started having leg pain. And eventually I got an x-ray of my abdomen. I was sitting in this very room on a Saturday, and I got a call that I had cancer. Especially at my age, you just never, it's a movie thing. It's something that happens in movies. It was a spiral. It was just my entire life, you know, entire life just changed immediately. I was doing life alone, and I just had an immediate it's time now. I really have to, I have to turn to God. I just have that feeling that he was just saying, just open up. Please just open up. Please just let me in.
The first Noel, the angel did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay.
Was Burke, and since the beginning of college, you know, for these going on 3 years, pretty much every Sunday he would go drive up to Omaha and go to Relevant every Sunday, and it was just, we would poke fun of him for it a little bit, but deep down it was just honestly very inspiring, because I, you know, at that point I really wasn't that committed to anything in my life before. I was watching one of the services at Relevant, and it was a message of surrender, and it was an unfinished, and it really just hit me. It's like, it's my cancer journey. I'm not letting go of my cancer journey. I'm still at the wheel. I'm still clenching my fist. I'm still, God, you need to help me with this. You need to help me with this. Like, this is, I can't deal with this. But I thought I turned to you, God, but in truth, I'd only slightly turned. I'd really opened the door, and I'd really opened the door and looked in, but I hadn't stepped in that door. I hadn't finally surrendered and opened up and let him lead my life. I needed God's joy now. I needed to open my heart now. God, take the wheel.
Then let us all with one accord sing praises to our heavenly Lord that hath made heaven and earth.
God has made, at least so far, and I think it will continue to do this, it has made my fight with cancer that much more easier. God has brought so many people into my life. He's blessed me with so many people in my life. Even though I have pain from my cancer, and even though I have these difficulties, and even though my chemotherapy is difficult, I'm still for the most part, very happy. And I've just felt so much more faithful and so much more moved, and I felt His presence so much more ever since surrendering and letting go of that thing that I was holding on to really tightly. Faith in general as well has just been completely transformed. My, you know, the faith I had before was very transactional and demanding. It was, I always would end up saying, God or Jesus, do this thing and I'll believe you. And of course, I never got anything out of that. It's demanding. It's very forceful. I'm taking the wheel. But I promise you, the second you stop making it about yourself and you make it about Jesus and you make it about God, you open up your heart, you let Him lead your life, He will prove Himself to you. He will. God put Jesus in this world to bear the cross and to forgive our sins and send down the Holy Spirit. And it just becomes background noise sometimes. And it's not background noise at all. It's important to remember how impactful and important that is, that He did that for us. That's the whole reason we have faith and we believe. That is the whole reason. The only difference was is I let go and I started to believe. I put my faith and I let go. It's the same thing for any pivotal moment in anybody's life. This is when things like this happen. This is not when you turn away. Even if you think I'm not good enough for God, or I'm angry at God, or if I'm feeling anything towards God, it doesn't matter. God is really, really happy that you're turning to Him. God is really He's really happy that you're turning to Him, and He's excited for the journey ahead. I can't imagine that if we're ever on this earth, He's not fighting for us and fighting for us to turn to Him and open our hearts to Him.
No.
God uses interruptions as invitations. Pray, dear Lord, I just thank you for interrupting those two people's lives 2,000 years ago, for interrupting the world, sending your Son, and then Jesus, what you did for us through the cross and resurrection. Just, I thank you for interrupting my life. And so, Lord, wherever those of us who put our faith in you are at, I pray that we just choose to pivot toward you.
right now in this season, however you'd have us do that. And through it, we experience the hope, the joy, the peace that can only come from you. Lord, for every person who ever put their faith in you, Jesus, who just feels that stirring, that prompting, that sense of inviting that can only come from you right now, where they're at quietly, I just pray that they choose right now to put their faith in you, Jesus. That right now they choose to confess their need for a Savior because of their sin that broke their relationship with you, and declare, Jesus, that they believe you are the Savior of the world because of your death and resurrection. And right now in this moment, I pray that they ask you to be their Savior, that they put their faith in you and ask you to be the forgiver of their sin and the leader of their life. They declare to you right now that they want to follow you as their Lord. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.
If today you prayed to put your faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, today is a really special day. And we love to celebrate with you by giving you one of these relevant Bibles. All you have to do is text the word Jesus to 55444, and we'll get one of these Bibles to you in the mail, along with some information to help you take your best next step in following Jesus. Also, we believe that life happens best in community. If you live in Elkhorn or the Omaha area and you're not part of a church, we'd love to have you join us for one of our Sunday gatherings. You can find out more about Relevant and what to expect by visiting our website at relevantcommunity.org. Thanks again for spending part of your day with us, and we hope to connect with you soon.